dust quartz, and then they were able to win. And then mandate Shell to reduce their emissions, I think, by 35% by 2050, I remember. And but that decision recently was overturned, so that's quite scandalous. But yeah, but just in terms of careers, I mean, there's so many different paths you could pursue and also become a climate activist at the same time. So I think there's so much out there for young people. So yeah, follow your passions.
Thank you for the inspirational message. I am inspired myself. I hear you. I hear you. I think that's one thing that would be interesting to approach would be the Conference of the Parts that has just finished happening, if I'm not wrong. It's finished last week. I'm not
I
sure
think it
about.
finished on the 22nd. It was,
Yes.
yeah.
It's around that. Basically, I wanted to know how, like, if you had the opportunity to follow. Unfortunately, SFU didn't have a delegation this year, both
Oh.
because they had a really large delegation last year, according to their website, but also because they are preparing to have a really big delegation next year. So it's basically a transitional moment. So it's interesting to have someone who, such as you, who knows a little bit more about it, that could maybe bring us whatever you follow that you think that was important out of this meeting. I think that's one thing here is that we didn't have multiple leaders from multiple countries attending. They were all like taking back because they have next year that's already gonna be important. You have a political transition in the US. You had the president of Brazil sick and not wanting and not able to attend. You have the G20 happening really close by. So that was, as far as I've learned, opportunity for diplomats of all countries to really get in touch with each other without the interference of politicians. So do you see any benefits on that? What can you bring to us on what happened this year?
Can I be super honest
Yes,
about
of
my
course.
thoughts? Well, I am very disappointed with what I've read about COP29. It's just the final decision of 300 billion, I think, that has to be delivered from developed countries to developing countries via the Green Climate Fund to help them transition into a net zero economy, I think, is very lackluster and it's not enough. I think for a lot of countries, I mean, just talking about from like losses, like from climate disasters, right? With all the floods that have happened, I think back in 2022, I read this article that said, in terms of insurance, actually, a lot of these countries are uninsured, and these losses were up to $2 billion in uninsurable losses. And that was just with, I think, Pakistan that experienced the floods, and that was $2 billion just from that one event. And to think if we had many more frequent and severe, I don't know, storms or floods or more disasters, $300 billion is not enough. It's not enough to cover these losses. It's not enough to help communities rebuild. And it's also not enough to ensure that they can transition to renewable energy fast enough. I think the realistic number was supposed to be $3 trillion, which is like, I 300 billion is like, is not enough. That's just my final thought. And just from reading the news, I feel like even though the 300 billion was declared, I mean, the previous target that was set in the Paris Agreement was that developed countries would transfer over $100 billion to developing countries. And even at the end, I think it was during COP28, I read this article that said actually they never even reached the 100 billion target. And the highest I think they got to was 80 billion. So if you can't even reach the 100 billion, what's to say that they're going to reach the 300 billion target? And how can they actually realistically support these countries who actually need around $3 trillion. It just made me feel very pessimistic, because I think with current political climates that's been happening in the US and also in Canada, I think the world is turning a lot more inwards, like, for example, Canada and the US with like increasing cost of living. A lot of people are not electing politicians that prioritize funding overseas. So I think it's going to be very difficult to get public finance to developing countries. And we're going to have to involve the private sector. And that's essentially what blended finance is, right? Because in order to reach this $300 billion target, I don't think public finance is going to be enough. And I think we need to involve big corporations. But then that also brings another question of, like, we're bringing in private interests into for example, like, helping, I don't know, a developing country implement a solar grid, or we're bringing a lot more private interests into more, I think it's supposed to be public spaces. So it is going to be quite disastrous in the future, I think. So I don't know how optimistic I feel about COP at the moment, but I just want to say that I felt disappointed by the final result.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I mean, out of my head, Brazil lost approximately 20 billion just in floods this year.
That really, like, just to think, that's just Brazil. And Brazil's like, and there are many countries like Brazil in the world, so.
And that's just one type of environmental disaster. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about the burning forests. We're not talking about, there's so much. There's so much to put in motion. So, like, what is 300 billion away? And more specifically, I've come to realize many countries are, like, afraid of saying, hey, we're putting this money into another country, especially with a more, a less progressive governments being elected around the world as of this moment. So, like, how are we looking at this public message of we want more nationalism, but we are also looking for other countries funding developing countries? You know, it's a confusing message in terms of international relations. So I think that much of what you brought here makes a lot of sense. And do you have anything to connect with what you expect for next year? Like, do you have any, like, first of all, in retrospect, what for this year's one, what we're missing that we need to target next year's as environmental activists? And yeah, that's the question.
I think, well, from my personal interest, like, I am really interested in climate finance, so I've been paying a lot more attention to that. I would want to see more concrete messaging on the loss and damage fund, for example, because that was declared in COP27. And then in COP28, I think they poured around like $300 million into it or so. And Canada, I remember, contributed around like $11 million into the fund. And then the fund was said to be managed by the World Bank, which is a very controversial manager again. But there hasn't been a lot of concrete messaging when it comes to the loss and damage fund in COP29. And I hope to see something related to that in COP30, where we would get an actual mechanism for, like, administering money from this fund. Like I said, when I talked about the parametric insurance, when you don't have a middle manager when it comes to administering money right after a disaster event, like, how would a country be able to claim a loss, right? It's just like with an insurance event. Like, if you crash your car, you have to claim this loss, right? And then they send an adjuster over to assess this loss, and then they give you the money as compensation. But I mean, when a country experiences a disaster, especially a developing country, they don't have the capacity to rebuild. How how much time would they have to wait for adequate funding? And there's only 300 million in that fund, and that's not enough to even cover a single country. So I hope to see more policies related to the loss and damage fund, and I hope that it gets to be managed by an organization that doesn't delay the delivery of funding. So that's I think that's for my personal interest. So that's why I've been paying a lot more attention to that.
And we have 1 year to prepare for it. It's been told that it's gonna be a really big one next year. I mean, 30 or 15 years after the Paris Agreement, it's a lot that's on the game, and I bet it's gonna be a huge discussion around those issues. You're planning on being there?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think because right now, I think number one, my priority is to, I think, get through my courses, get through my schooling, do some internships. So I'm not sure if I'll get time off work. But I think just given the fact that I am feeling a bit pessimistic about COPs right now, I think the chance to go should go to another student in order for them to learn more about this process and what they can contribute to COP. Because for me, I've had this chance and I feel like I've learned a lot already, but I don't want to have to be able to waste another plane ticket and waste another hotel trip to, and I think that should go to someone else in order to for their learning journey. For me, I think I've had enough of coughs for now.
Well, I don't. I never enjoy finishing with a negative message. So I want to know, where are you seeing hope right now? What is the thing that you look at for environmental change? Or maybe if you're feeling too pessimistic about that right now, where are you finding hope on your daily life to continue pursuing everything you're pursuing?
This is actually something I've been thinking about this whole year. It's just ever since I came back from COP, I've kind of realized that these big conferences, I think it's very glamorous and you feel like you're making a lot of change. But again, I rarely see any feasible, I think feasible change that comes from this in the real world. And I think I've realized that real impact really comes from acting locally and being a like involving yourself locally in your city or in your province, in your own country. I think making that local change a lot of the times is more effective than what I've seen at COP. And for myself, I'm working with this another delegate who I met at COP28, who's from UBC. And I have been trying to find funding to launch my own nonprofit. I really want to launch a nonprofit to help Chinese international students or people who don't speak English, who come from China, to be able to participate in climate action. So I want to be able to connect students in China who don't necessarily speak English with students in Canada, and then it kind of works like a pen pal system. They could connect and then they could exchange more knowledge and bridge this gap that I was talking about earlier. So I think that's something that has been giving me hope, is like, I think really taking action on my own and kind of finding hope locally.
I love this message, finding hope locally. I think it's something that speaks a lot to me too. It's hard, but whenever it happens, it's really inspirational and it's tangible change. You see people enjoying it. You get a fund for a park, you can see the park being revitalized and taken care of. It's that kind of stuff that really matters. In the end of the day, like, shaping whatever you were at. So, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
I think that's for questions. That was it. I really appreciate you being here. I think I've learned a lot from you, and I bet that every listener has also learned.
Thank you so much. Hopefully, I wasn't too rambly.
You were not. I always enjoy asking this as well. any last message that you want to put out, or is that okay for you?
I think my main message to students at SFU is really any career, again, like I said, could be a climate career. I think if you just follow your passions, you can always find a way for your job to benefit climate action in some way and have impact in some way. And it's not just, you don't have to necessarily become a politician or go to COP to make impact. You can make impact anywhere with any job. So I think really, yeah, follow your passions and just follow your own career path, and then that can become a climate job.
The staff and volunteers at CJSF wish you a jolly, merry, happy, joyful, fantastic, exciting, fancy, magnificent, remarkable, special, white, sparkling, terrific, stunning, festive, and wonderful holiday season.
Que reflejan tu mirada, la noche tú y yo.
From within, concentrated thoughts on who I used to be. I'm shedding skin every day, a new version of me, a third of me, demented, cementing in pain, juggling the pros and cons of fame. I don't know how to make friends, I'm a lonely soul. I recollect this isolation, I was 4 years old. Truth be told, I've been battling myself, trying to navigate the rhythm, fake, cynical about the judgment day. I did past life progression last year, and it f***ed me up. Reincarnated on this earth for 100 plus. Body after body, lesson after lesson. Let's take it back to Michigan in 1947. My father kicked me out the house, cause I wouldn't listen to him. I didn't care about his influence, only love what I was doing. Gifted as a musician, I play guitar on a grand level. The most talented where I'm from, but I had to rebel. And so I'm off in the sunset, searching for my place in the world. With my guitar up on my hip, as the story unfurled. I found myself with a pocket full of money and a whole lot of respect. While the record business loved me, I was head of rhythm and blues. The women that fell to their feet, so many to choose. But I manipulated power as I lied to the masses. Died with my money, gluttony was too attractive. Reincarnated. It placed me as a black woman in the chitlin' circuit. Seductive vocalist as the promoter hit the curtains. My voice was angelic, straight from heaven. The crowd sobbed. A musical genius, what the articles emphasized. Had everything I wanted, but I couldn't escape addiction. Hair on needles had me in fetal position, restricted. Turned on my family, I went wherever cameras be. Cocaine, no private planes for my insanity. Self-indulged. Discipline never been my sentiments. I needed drugs. To me, an 8-ball was like penicillin. Love. My happiness was in that brown sugar. Sex and melody. These gave me hope when nobody's looking. My first assistant was a small town scholar. Never did a quaalude till I got myself around her. My daddy looked the other way. He saw sin in me. I died with syringes pinched in me. Reincarnated. My present life is Kendrick Lamar. A rapper looking at the lyrics to keep you in awe. The only factor I respected was raising the bar. My instincts sent my straight to the charts, huh? My father kicked me out the house, I finally forgive him. I'm old enough to understand the way I was living. Ego and pride had me looking at him with resentment. I close my eyes hoping that I don't come off contentious. I'm yelling, Father, did I finally get it right? Everything I did was selfless. I spoke freely when the people needed me, I helped them. I didn't gloat, even told them no when the vultures came. Took control of my fleshly body when the money changed.
Son, you do well, but your heart is closed, I can tell. Residue that linger from your past creates itself.
Father, I'm not perfect, I got urges, but I hold them down.
But your pride has to die.
Okay, Father, show me how.
Tell me every deed that you done and what you do it for.
I kept 100 institutions paid.
Okay, tell me more.
I put 100 hoods on one stage.
Okay, tell me more.
I'm trying to push peace in LA.
But you love war.
No, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do.
Okay, then tell me the truth.
Every individual is only a version of you. How can they forgive when there's no forgiveness in your heart?
I could tell you where I'm going.
I could tell you who you are. Fell out of heaven cause you was anxious. Didn't like authority, only searched to be heinous. Isaiah 14 was the only thing that was prevalent. My
greatest music director was you. It was colors, it was pinks, it was reds, it was blues, it was harmony and motion. I sent you down to earth cause you was broken. Rehabilitation, not psychosis. But now we here now. Centuries you manipulated man with music. Embodied you as superstars to see how you moving. You came a long way from garnishing evilish views.
And all I ever wanted from you was love and approval. I learned a lot, no more putting these people in fear. The more that word is diminished, the more it's not real. The more light that I can capture, the more I can feel. I'm using words for inspiration as an idea.
So can you promise that you won't take your gifts for granted?
I promise that I use my gifts to bring understanding.
For heavy man, woman, and child, how much can you vow?
I found my life just to live one in harmony now.
You crushed a lot of people, keeping their thoughts in captivity.
And I'm ashamed that I ever created that enemy.
Then let's rejoice where we at.
I rewrote the devil's story just to take our power back. Carnated!
The staff and volunteers at CJSF wish you a safe and happy holiday season.
Staff and volunteers at CJSF wish you a safe and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, and we wish you the best for the new year.